Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to a very special, festive and probably quite sweary edition of Irregular Bitches, the podcast for women in midlife who can very much remember the halcyon days of 80s Christmases, which were all highly flammable foil decorations, Band-Aid the first time around, and Cabbage Patch dolls being about as easy to get hold of as unicorn tears. I'm Sarah Kaywood, 80s child, 90s telly bird and 21st century hormonal horror story. And my co-host, the yin to my yang, the pepperoni to my pizza and the cheese to my crackers, sometimes literally, is Louise Mitchell.
God bless you for that.
Woo. How are you, baby?
Good, thank you, my love. Yeah, all good. Christmas Eve, getting amongst the presents.
Can you hear me jingle jangle?
I can. Well done with your jingle
jangle. Do you want to hear why this is the best metaphor for our podcast ever in the whole world?
Go on.
I've got, there's children's slippers, elf slippers. Only one of them has bells on because on the other one, which I'm shaking now, all the bells fell off.
That's the perfect metaphor for midlife,
isn't
for
it,
sure.
Isn't it? So yeah. Andy says I sound like
hold on to your bells, love.
Oh, my bells have gone a long time ago. I've got two left. Happy bells. Our guest today has taken time out of her... Oh, I'm ever so excited about this one.
I know, it's a goodie.
She's taken time out of her extremely busy December schedule to give us some tips on surviving Christmas with maximum hormones. It is the wonderful Mrs. Perimenoclaws. Bravo!
Here I am. I'm really sorry. I am incredibly busy, as you well know, delivering presents, dropping them on people's heads generally, because what with hormones and all the rest of it, there's none of this nicety.
Well, we know that you must be very busy spreading the HRT and breathing techniques all over the world at this time of year. But what we want to know, because we figure you're the expert, Mrs. Claus, is have you got any survival tips for getting through Christmas?
Absolutely. And in fact, it's one very, very short word, and it's called gin. Look, you may as well simplify this. I mean, the middle age crisis, the menopause is a complicated fucker. But if we want to simplify it, a lot of gin, it really doesn't matter what flavour. It's going to make you cry eventually. Initially, it will have you lubed so you can get down the chimney. And I use the word lube loosely because it can be used in so many different ways. But yes, basically, get that gin down, yeah?
It's got
me round the world so far, and I'm nearly done with all the presents because with it being Christmas Eve and all, I've got jobs to do. But am I allowed to tell you what I did last year?
Please. Oh, yes, please.
Little bit of a fuck up. A small minor one. Anyway, I'm going to tell you anyway. My dear Jamie Oliver, I'm very fond of Jamie Oliver. I thought, no, sod it. I'm going to put a few herbs out of my garden. And I thought a bit of rosemary. Little bit different. Sadly, due to the fact that I am menopausal, I actually stuffed our entire fucking turkey with lavender.
I knew that was coming. Fucking hell.
Let me tell you something. Christmas dinner that tastes of freaking soap.
No.
Not good.
Mrs. Perimenoclaws, that is a classic.
Listen, Mrs. Claus, you're meant to know about Christmas. That is a... I mean, they're the same family, but still.
Let me tell you, we all slept like babies that night.
I bet you did. That's absolutely brilliant. Mrs. Perimenoclaws, do you have any symptoms, hormonal symptoms, menopause symptoms, or are you before that? Are you beyond that? Where are you at?
I mean, seriously, which it's shorter to give you a list of the symptoms I don't have. But all I would say to you is, once again, that, you know, my advice is gin. The other advice is that the menopause and middle age and all that shit that goes with it is a cast iron alibi for just about everything. I'm planning this year, because obviously it's been the year from hell, to murder somebody. So, you know, it's very public. I'm out there. So, you know, when it happens, the police can come straight for me. However, I do believe that the menopause is the absolute cast iron alibi.
Well, yeah. What is it? What do they call it when you, it's like fit of madness? Oh, diminished responsibility.
I.e.
the menopause.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we need to worry about Mr. Claus then?
This morning, I was looking out of the window and I saw him, God bless his soul. He was slumped on the lawn. And you, know, you sort of have a little bit of memory. You think, for fuck's sake, the bloody dogs dug him up again. At the end of the day, the guy's had his chances. Do you know, in fairness, but you know, the Labrador seems to like him. He walks in now and again, but he keeps digging the fucker up. So, you know, what can I do? Mr. Claus has got his ears and eyes well and truly in the back of his head now.
This is something I want to ask both of you, actually, just because I love hearing it. Like, I love being amongst women of a certain age who were children when I was as well. So what are your favourite 80s Christmas memories?
I just remember always being overexcited, waking up at 4 a.m. I mean, 80s, I was a teenager. Yes, so I will have started drinking by that stage. But I would sort of wake up at 4 a.m, far too excited. And then my parents would be annoyed with me by about 4 p.m, and I'd be back in my bedroom. That summed up my Christmas
really?
For many years. Yes. Too excited.
Wow.
Then the drinking happened, and then I was hungover for the whole of Christmas Day.
Oh, God, yes, I remember those. Yeah, when we'd been down St. Mary's vaults,
on
mate.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Lou knows the vaults.
I do.
Mrs. Claus. And Mrs. Claus, what about you? 80s festive memories.
80s, oh God, you know, the 80s to me are just a dream come true. Where we are now is just too hideous. The 80s for me were, just a basically sort of a drunken haze, because I was a bit of an early starter. I think, I'm like you, I was a teenager. But yeah, I was kind of 16 and I'd become very, very well acquainted with Southern Comfort. Oh, if I smell Southern Comfort now, I'm, you know, straight to the loo, head over it. I was into that phase of actually looking like sort of the outside of a straw tube. You know, those sort of skirts that you walked like a little person who had very, very short legs. So, yeah, it was kind of like a boob
the
tube around your
was
leg.
It the tube pencil skirt?
Oh, that's I missed that.
The one. That's the one. Yeah. It was either that or the
you
rah-rah skirt.
You can't walk in them at all.
No.
I had the rah-rah skirt and the batwing jumper.
I mean, I basically would come downstairs dressed like an enormous condom, and Mum would then have this huge fit of annoyance because she wanted me to be a girly girl and come down wearing some sort of velvet, I don't know, sort of bottle green coloured dress. And she would ignore me until I finally succumbed, and I would wear said velvet dress and then tip candle wax down the front of it. I was still doing that at age 16. I stopped doing it.
Clever.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah. Your style.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah,
I need
to be careful that my little girl doesn't get ideas like that, because she wants to dress like a slut and she's only 7.
Did either of you play musical instruments? We used to have to do a show. It was, it was so painful. I know my mum's going to listen to this. It was painful. So my sister played the violin, I played the piano, and my brother played, I think he was playing the trumpet or something. And my parents would insist we did some sort of musical carol playing instruments after dinner.
Mummy Mitchell, really?
Quarters as well. Grandma.
Oh no, we just used to have, we'd have all the neighbours round and my parents would get shit-faced.
Yeah, that sounds like more fun.
No, I did play the piano for many, many years, and I my mum would do exactly the same thing. But I used to chuck in the old Les Dawson, you know, the odd wrong note and sort of bad foot them all. And then, yeah, they would get completely hammered. And it would be, and I would end up being waitress. So it was one for them, one for me, until I basically was comatosed over the piano. Dad
Amazing.
Sometimes would put the lid over my head so that Mum didn't realise that I was completely shit-faced, aged 15. And it was sort of,
I
what's
used to
happened
love
to
a
him.
Creme de menthe.
But they used to have those drinks parties, didn't they, in the 80s? Your parents' drinks parties. It was a thing, right? I don't do that. Do you have drinks parties? You do? I don't.
No. No, I might resurrect them next year when
maybe it's time.
Oh, it's cheese and pineapple time. Come on, girls. With it having been so utterly crap, the 80s were the best, let's be honest. We did have the best time of our lives. I look at my girls are 16 and 18, and I think that their teenagehood is utterly crap compared to mine. Mm. You know, it was just totally. Such fun.
Irregular.
Bitches.
My 18-year-old loves 80s music.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the best. It is the best. And we had the best time because nothing could shock our parents. And quite frankly, they couldn't have given a shit. They really wanted us to get more pissed than them so that they couldn't be done for bad parenting.
Yeah, my parents were quite laissez-faire, probably from the age of about 15, have let me have a few drinks. And Christmas for me is December the 17th, Pony Club Disco, not quite as posh as it sounds, having my first snog with Neil Boyd to China in Your Hand by Tapao.
Good song. Good song.
Amazing, amazing, best 80s memory. I think it's time to let Mrs. Perimenopause go because we have got another guest today. Two for the price of one. It's our Christmas gift to you, and we'll let you get back to the workshop. Have a wonderful, wonderful, merry Christmas with all the gin. Mrs. Perimenopause, thank you so much for joining
us. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm off to the North Pole now to go and pick up some more presents. See ya.
Fabulous. Whoosh. Good work. And there she goes. How much can we wring out that perimenopause gag, Lou? No,
it made us laugh and we got the most out of it, and Emma's just taken it next level.
She really has. And actually, Mrs. Perimenopause was in fact the wonderful Emma Skeets from Menopausal Mayhem Mothers, and she's actually staying around to tell us all about that. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, the lunatic?
Oh, you are definitely an irregular bitch, woman. I'm already in love with you. I'm so bummed that we've had to do this down the Zoom.
Me too.
But you know, will you come back in person?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Essentially, so we can go and get shit faced over lunch.
Well, I think it would be incredibly rude not to do it over a rather large eggnog. Or, do you know, I've never had eggnog. 100%. Has anyone ever had that?
I have Advocaat and lemonade. What's
no,
that?
That's a snowball. No. Love. Get your Christmas drinks right. My mum, you see, I have a bit of bowel missing, about half a metre of bowel missing from a resection a few years ago. And my mum made eggnog and she came down for a few Christmases ago. And
what
I didn't know.
Then? What is eggnog?
Basically, brandy infused cream.
I'm
sure it's got egg yolk in it as well.
No.
It is lovely, but I can't really tolerate fats that well because I'm missing bits of me, and I won't lie, I was shitting through the eye of a needle for the whole of Christmas Day.
No.
But it was lovely. I mean, it was lovely.
It can't have been worth it, love. It can't have been.
Well, I'm used
to it. You've had a snowball.
Oh, I love a snow. I had my first snowball the other day. I was very late this year. Oh. But a snowball is Advocaat, a good squeeze of real lime, top it up with lemonade and then some glacé cherries in there.
Oh, I've got to do that because for me, the memories of eggnog was my grandma, funnily enough. Mm. Some eggnog, not eggnog, a snowball.
Snowball.
A penguin and Starsky and Hutch. And that was just my ideal Saturday night, Christmas or not.
It is now.
Doesn't matter.
That sounds perfect for me right in this moment, Emma, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But thank you, girls, for having me on. And I had a lovely time. Oh. In fact, I'm sort of imagining myself on my little sleigh flying over various different countries. I'm hoping that I'm going to have a little small accident and fall off in the Caribbean somewhere.
God!
That would be lovely. No tears. You're not worrying about any tears, clearly.
No. And have you not heard my latest plan?
And
this is for real. This is absolutely for real. I have so had a fucking enough of this life of menopause, misery, COVID, 2020. I am buying a bar in Guadeloupe. Ooh. Which is
lovely.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I haven't got any fucking money, but I'm doing it. And it's going to be called the Hot Flush Inn.
Ah! We're there.
I love it.
We're there.
You absolutely do. I mean, I'm quite gullible. Are you really doing this, Emma? Or is this just a pie in the sky? Or are you? Is there a genuine plan in place? Because I genuinely want to buy a ticket now.
And if so, where the hell's Guadeloupe?
Okay, good. You know, the only reason I know about Guadeloupe is I'm a sad bastard, and I watch, there's a program called Death in Paradise, which apparently is filmed there.
That? I haven't.
Yeah, that's okay. one of my sad confessions. But that was filmed on Guadeloupe, and I've never been to the Caribbean. It's never fascinated me until this year, and I really believe in following your heart. And I just think a hot flush in.
Oh,
I mean, and it's all run by menopausal women. So there's going to be a lot of swearing, a lot of shouting, a lot of banning. There's going to be a lot of get out of my pub.
Love it. There's going to be loving memory.
Load of cocktails,
rest in peace,
gin, and a lot of pissed women. And then, of course, you're going to have, you know, the employees are going to be quite young men with nice abs and a few nice shoulders.
Lovely. Oh, how dreadful.
Book me a ticket. Yep. Emma, so you've got this incredibly successful blog and Facebook page, and I just want to know what kickstarted the menopausal mayhem mothers. What was it? And can you explain what it is for anybody who is unaware of your brilliance?
Oh, you're so lovely. Do you know what? It was a little bit like myself. It was a complete accident. I had a hysterectomy a few years back, and I discovered pre-hysterectomy that I was actually a bit of a walking disaster area. And I live in one of these quintessentially beautiful little English villages where everybody's so freaking perfect. I can't tell you, the competitor. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who did?
You can't be friends with people like that, Emma.
And I just got so sick of social media being all about, look how beautiful I am, look how perfect I am, look how beautiful my children. Oh my God, my child has turned up again with the perfect project made of papier-mâché that evidently the fucking child didn't make. You made it. And I realised, having forgotten every single permission slip sort of known to man, that I had two options. And one was to either try and compete with these fuckers. And I'm really sorry about the use of my language today. I am particularly hormonal.
No. Go with it. We're swearing. We warned everybody, honestly, at the top. If they can't handle it, they're listening to the wrong podcast.
But I thought, okay, so I can either try and compete with them. Gave that about 48 hours. That went horribly wrong. So I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to play myself. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to write about it. And I threw a little party for myself when I got 200 followers who said, this is just one of the funniest things I've ever heard of. Because there were things like, for example, being a really lovely mummy on a wet day and driving my children to school, getting home and they were still in the bloody car. So there was stuff like that.
Did you genuinely do that?
I've done that three times. And the little bastards have latched onto this. If they keep really, really quiet, mummy is so fast asleep in the morning that actually it's kind of, you know, open the door, out you get, see you later, off I pop, get back in the bloody car, they are on the driveway. So I started writing this blog about the fact that my mind had left the building and was no longer coming back, and so I just had to kind of live with what was left from the sort of surgical lobotomy that I'd had, which apparently was called a hysterectomy. I've got to very, very quickly tell you that one of the kids at school was quite fascinated by the fact that I'd had this rather big operation. And so the teacher said, would I come in and... I'm sorry, I'm laughing. One of my children didn't speak to me for a month. She said, would I come in and explain what had happened? And I couldn't think of a way to explain to a group of nine-year-olds. So I basically told them I'd been spayed. Because, you know,
Well, that's exactly it, essentially.
What had happened to me.
I think that's genius.
So, yeah, I just remember Alice said to me, Mum, if there'd been an evaporation button, I'd have pressed it. But anyway,
I love Alice. Yes,
Alice would have just been left as this sort of smouldering pair of school shoes. Left it at that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I hit what they call the menopause. Lots of people do the whole perimenopause thing, and then they go into the menopause. I hit it like a brick wall. Yeah, it was. I can't say it was an almighty amount of fun, but so I started this blog, as I say, pre the menopause, which was actually initially called just the Mayhem Mothers, because I was so freaking hopeless at everything to do with parenting, especially to do with schools. And then it got substantially worse, because then I had to start using memory and brain, and that, as I say, left the building very quickly. And so I started writing about it, and yeah, threw a little party when I got my 200 followers. And suddenly things started to go even, because we have a Labrador who features very heavily in the blog. He's the most beautiful dog you've ever seen in your life. And anybody who reads the blog will know Spencer, because Spencer is part of the reason that I spend half my life on my face. And the one thing we forgot to do with Spencer was train him, which was very, very unfortunate, because he's 40 kilos of disaster. Area.
Oh, I love a lab, yeah, though. But yes, we've had the untrained lab, and it has pulled my mum over a billion times. And also, he used to whack the children. Sadly, we had to have him put down this year. It was devastating. Lovely Dylan. No. But he would literally whack the children when they walked past him, would brace themselves for the tail.
Yeah.
No, like
yeah.
The tail would like whack them. He used to make his tail bleed. It would wag so hard against things.
I mean,
Spencer is famous now.
I want to meet Spencer.
Well, Spencer has done things. For example, I used to tie him up outside the school gate and wait for the kids, but he knew that this was part of the game. And as I unleashed him from his sort of, you know, from the gatepost, he would just take off. And actually, he's not a taking off kind of dog, really. But I used to sort of do the old benzinese, you know, the sort of water skiing position. And on one particular occasion, literally just because, he's 40 kilos of Labrador and I'm 80 kilos of loveliness. And the dog was just about to take off and the fucker's collar broke. And of course, there was nothing to hold me up. So I went backwards, ended up in the hedge, and the dog ended up at the village shop. He'd found his way to the shop very, very quickly, entered the village shop, and then proceeded to eat all the bread rolls on the bottom shelf. So in the process of me being fished out of the hedge by the headmistress, the bloody dog got an ASBO for shoplifting. So, but he's done, and he's also been barred from the... So anyway, to cut along very too late, as I've always said, cut a long story short, too late. I carried on writing about these misdemeanors and sort of put it all in the context of the menopause. And people bought into this because I think they got so sick to death of the perfect life and the perfect parents and the perfect children. Yeah. And actually, yeah. I started to receive messages from people to say, oh my God, I feel normal. I actually get it. You know,
I don't. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure anyone's buying that shit anymore, if I'm completely honest. I think everybody knows, you know, I have good days and bad days, but you know, the kind of felt cute thing, I just like, do fuck off. Will you?
But it's more about that. What is shared is the good stuff, and not many people share the negative stuff. And not many people, I don't think, make the midlife stuff funny, but you absolutely do, Emma.
Yeah.
Your Facebook page literally lights up my, what's it called?
But that's why we started this. And you are so one of us. You're you know, fucking fabulous woman in midlife. Just saying, there is no shame in, you know, your boobs drooping and your period stopping and your hair going grey. And it doesn't mean that we can't be sexy and fabulous and funny and not, you know, it's the invisibility that pisses me off. And also this obsession with especially some older women with, I mean, I know I've got a face full of Botox, but with holding back the years. I say embrace it. she says, filling her face with Botox. But I kind of do that for me. Yeah. I don't do that because I want to look... I'm you know, I'm 48. I'm not going to lie about it, but I just like to look fresh.
No, do you know what? And that's fair dues. And I think at the end of the day, it's accepting people for who they are. And the thing that I mean, I'm 52 and careering towards 53. I mean, it's actually, it's yeah, it's running straight at me.
How long have we got, Emma? When's your birthday?
January.
Oh, really soon.
What an utter shite time to have a birthday.
It's not great.
And it's always been crap. And we've sort of tried to forget about it. But yeah, you get to 52, 53. And, you know, I was saying to you earlier on, you know, the boobs now. I mean, I don't know about these push-up bras. We need pull-up bras, girls. Come on. You know, I'm needing scaffolding. I mean, I've now reached the point where I have several sets, which is quite, you know, handy if you're a boob man. I mean, what I was planning on doing was having the various rolls of fat that have built up around, because that's one of the symptoms of the menopause, is that your whole body shape changes. And I've never had a waist. I've always been known as the human lamppost, but that was in the days when I was slim. I think now if I died, that, you know, there'd be a chalk circle. That would be literally it, you know. it's all gone horribly wrong. There's no shape whatsoever. However, you know, if I were to have any tattoos done, which I've never had done, my daughter's just had one, which has fucking pissed me off. She's 18, little fucker. She's just turned 18.
Yeah.
And I was so what hoping for spelling mistake. She had everything you want in life is on the other side of fear. But she's had it written, so you can't read it. Stupid. Well, I love it. She's so me. I just said to her, there you go, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But
So my mum was really cross when I got mine, actually. She said, I brought you into this world perfect.
Apparently her school have said to her that she should never have had it done because she could cheat. And I said, what, from one sentence? And then this dear friend of hers, who is definitely one of us, said that she was going to have some maths equations tattooed on her arm. And Georgie quite rightly pointed out that she isn't doing maths. She's doing geography and psychology. So they're definitely learned a lot from me. But no, I'm going to have tattoos on each roll of fat. So and they're just going to be nipples. So I'm perfect. Yeah, I'm going to be like the classic irregular bitch, but I'm going to be a Labrador.
Spencer will be eyeing you up.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Do you know Harry Styles has three nipples?
Has he?
I do too.
Yes,
that.
He does. Yeah, it's quite sexy. I've seen it.
Is it sexy, Sarah?
Well, listen.
Or is it just Harry Styles find sexy? Harry Styles.
Has he had that done deliberately, or was he born like that?
No, he was born like Anne Boleyn. Didn't she have three nipples?
Well, and so, so did Chandler.
She was the original irregular bitch, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Make him wait. He'll denounce religion for a shag. And he did.
And let's be fair, she, you know, a bit like us, a bit headless now and again.
Hey, boom, boom.
Sorry.
Emma, apart from us, obviously, have you met any interesting people through starting this blog?
Do you know, very, very interesting me. I have actually met some really lovely, amazing people. And one of them was one of your prior guests, Amanda Abington.
Oh, she's amazing, isn't she? Love her.
She is just one of the nicest. And I loathe it when people say this just for the pure hell of it. But actually,
truly,
Amanda has proven herself to not only be just a fantastic, amazing, and I think very inspiring actress, but she's turned out to be a really, really good friend. And when she heard about my, because I lost my mum quite recently, and there've been various other things that have happened during the course of the year, this is a lady, and weirdly enough, I met her through Sarah Parrish. I don't know if you know the actress Sarah Parrish. And I'd gone down to meet Jim, her husband, who's also an actor, to do some work for their, they've got a charity called the Murray Parish Trust, because they lost a child because of congenital heart failure and so on. And so he just happened to have a look at my blog and said, oh, Amanda Abington's following you. And I went, you're bloody kidding me. And so I jumped on that bandwagon jolly freaking quickly and got to know her. And what an absolute treasure. I mean, there is somebody who's not just a fake or a celebrity. She's a genuinely decent girl who picks up the phone to me now and again. In fact, it's more often these sort of WhatsApp messages we leave for each other to check on how I am. And in fairness, all I am to her is a blogger. She genuinely cares, and she.
But I don't think she would. You see, with Amanda, I don't think she would feel like that, Emma. I think you're not just a blogger. She doesn't. Yeah. She's not a celebrity. She sees the human. She sees the human that she wants to, that she wants to be connected to. Mm. You know, so she's not like that. No airs and graces. You're just a lovely person, and she wants to be in your orbit.
And that's what I love about her. She's very, I mean, she's got me really into this sort of witchy realm, and I love all that stuff.
Don't get started.
I love all that stuff. I've got a friend who's a witch. If I had the time, I would definitely practice it, but you need loads of time. But, you know, it's all pagan anyway. Christmas, bloody pagan.
It's all been hijacked
by Christianity.
I have got my own broomstick. I've just got to get it working.
Fly over as soon as you do, and I'll make us a brew.
I've got myself a pair of stripy tights. I love it. The only year I didn't do Halloween was when I had my hysterectomy, because people had visions of the real thing happening, and bits of my guts suddenly appearing all over the place. And we thought, no, because it could only happen to one person, it would happen to Emma. So going back to your original question, that's what happened. I started to write this blog about just all the general shit that went on in my life. Things like, I mean, I've got to tell you the story of when I did take Spencer to the pub garden, and I let him run free in the back garden, and you could see the landlord looking terribly uncomfortable. The dog then brought back a live rabbit, which proceeded to then disembowel. But in front of about 100 people, including about 30 children,
horror story.
A Labrador. I mean, Labradors are the most pathetic, kind little buggers. And Spencer decided he was going to go for the throat.
And it was squeaking. I can't tell you.
I don't want to hear.
Oh, no. It gets worse. This is
fucking Watership Down. Please stop. Yeah,
this is the prelim. This is literally only the beginning part. And so he then disemboweled this rabbit. I did try and chase him. He's like a New Zealand bloody winger, let me tell you. I'm 51-year-old. That was the other 49-year-old woman. Body seen better days. Things still moving about half an hour afterwards. Flat on my face twice. So, yeah, I carried on writing this blog about just being just this walking disaster area. And it's gone from my little 200 party to 200,000.
That's amazing.
They rather like the fact that I spend a vast amount of my life embarrassing myself in public. I had a full-on conversation the other day with what I thought was a man, but it was actually someone painted back of a truck. It was just, you know, I write. Just an advert. I had a long old chat with him. We had a lovely time. Yeah, and that's how the whole blog is sort of, and it resonates with people, I think, because the one thing I do celebrate is the fact that it is really important to embrace the menopause.
Right.
It is something you can't fucking avoid. It's not like there's a little side or where you can say, right, I'm going to pay my 50 quid and around I go. You've got to go through it and you've got to embrace it somehow. I definitely pump as much estrogen into my body as I possibly and humanly can.
Okay.
Because I think lacking in one thing that's really important, and I know this is comical, but it's really important for women to know, is that these days the estrogen that you take in HRT is bioidentical. So it absolutely replicates the estrogen that you've lost in your body. So it's really important, it protects you. And I had too late for my lobotomy to have not taken effect. It's really important that women do take that. But yeah, my memory is absolute history, and I think it's funny. I mean, I went to the vet the other day with Spencer because Spencer has... Oh, I'm sorry. Spencer has had one of his ears removed. Not an entire ear. They've left the flap, but he kept getting infections. But I had to take him for a checkup, and I got to the reception desk and she said, well, where is he? And I'd actually left him at home. But not only had I got in the car without the dog, which I think is quite normal, but to have actually got out of the car, walked to the reception desk, and this is obviously pre-lockdown, without the dog. And it just never occurred to me that I'd actually gone, you know, and I, and
you were going,
she said,
to the
is there anything we can do for you whilst you're
put me down?
No, I had an appointment for the
I can absolutely see myself
exactly.
doing that. I've got an appointment at the vets. Here I am.
Oh yeah. God, I don't yeah. don't get me a dog. That's all I'll say. I mean, Emma, we have this thing called the Menno moment and the hormonal horror story, and I think you've fully filled our boots with the hormonal horror stories. But
amazing.
And I guess that's a Menno moment as well. Is there anything that you do? I mean, me and keys. I have a problem with keys. I throw them away. I put them in the fridge. And Andy Fapp, true story, Lou, key story number three. The other day, we were getting the bins ready to put out, and he found the garage padlock keys in. They weren't in a bin liner, but they were at the bottom of the black plastic bin that we put our bin liners in. Again,
keys, mate.
Me and fucking keys. So those are my Menno moments, Emma. Do you have anything that, like, you know, just the little stupid things you do? Like putting random shit in the fridge.
Well, I think turning up to the vet without the dog is a pretty good
one. Well, it's really interesting you should say that. I was looking for my car keys some time ago. And in fact, it was caught on Radio 4 Woman's Hour, which I could have frickin' done without. But there you go. I couldn't find my car keys, and I was actually in a real hurry and was frantically looking everywhere, scraping through the bottom of my handbag. And I came across a chicken fillet wrapped in cellophane, and I instantly knew at that point where my car keys were. They were in the freezer. So, you know, just
I wondered where that was going. Yep.
Yes.
But what I loved about that whole situation was the fact that it didn't take me long. I should have been a detective. I would forget fucking everything. I'd forget all the witnesses and all that kind of stuff. But I knew instantly when I found the chicken fillet in the cellophane, keys in the freezer.
Yeah. Andy, when I lose the keys now, the first place Andy always checks is the fridge.
Well, and seemingly the bin.
Yeah, well, no, that was an accident. That was because we were just getting the rubbish out to put out, and he was like, "Oh, I found your keys." I was like, "Oh, I didn't even know they were missing."
But the other thing that I have lost fairly regularly, I would say the thing that I lose the most during my menopause is my car. Now that seems the amount of times I have driven to school, taken the kids to school. This was in days gone by, but then walked home. I have reported my car stolen three times now.
That's
because it wasn't
brilliant.
On the driveway. And it's actually down at the school. Yep,
that's
three times.
Brilliant.
Fortunately, I worked in road safety, so I know the local coppers pretty well. But also the other thing, I don't know whether you're a two car family. I now have a learner driver, so we've got three cars, and I have the amount of times I've come out of Tesco and reported my car stolen because I can't find it anywhere in the car park, and I've driven another car.
Yeah.
So they're quite big cars. But I've lost several of those.
I just love your commitment. See, whereas I'm much more, oh no, I've forgotten where it is, but I love your commitment to the fact that some motherfucker has got involved.
It's been nicked again. Bloody hell.
Again.
It's not just, oh, what have I done with it this time? It's like, it's definitely been fucking nicked.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because I always forget to lock it.
Ladies, we'd love you to come in and when we can back together again.
Please.
In person, if that, will you do that for us, Emma? Have a
little
day trip.
Oh, with absolute pleasure. Also, could we please go down to my little beach hut where Spencer has also disgraced himself, where he's either pooed somewhere and I've not seen it, and then I've got the whole of the beach going warmer, warmer, colder, colder, as I'm searching.
Tutting at you.
Yeah. So can we do that? Can we go down?
You don't have to ask twice.
I'll bring some poo bags.
We'll be there.
Good girl, we've got a beach hut, so we could do it in the beach hut.
Heaven.
Hey.
Done.
Well, thank you very much, Emma. It's been an absolute pleasure. And you can check out Emma's blog on... what's the website address for the blog? Because obviously you're Menopausal Mayhem Mothers on Facebook and Instagram, but what's your blog site?
The actual website is...
Here she goes. Come on. Woman.
You can do it.
I can do this.
We're behind you.
www.menopausalmayhemmothers.uk.
Yay! All that's left for me to say is Merry Christmas from Irregular Bitches. That's me, Sarah Kay, with Louise Mitchell and our guest today, Emma Skeets. Good luck, and we will see you on the other side. And let's just leave you with one last word to leave a smile on your little faces. Vaccine.
I thought it was dry vagina.
Until then, guys and girls, Louise.
Stay cool, bitches.
Merry Christmas! Let's do bells.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.